Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you again for joining VHA Home Healthcare's Client and Family Telephone Town Hall. My name is Tracy Turf, and I have the pleasure of managing communications at VHA. This afternoon, we're going to hear briefly from a few of our leaders with updates on VHA's current practices, including for infection prevention and control, and we'll answer a number of questions that have been received in advance of the call. Just a couple of logistics notes from me. You are all muted to make sure that everyone will be able to hear on the call, so you will not be able to ask questions live during the call. If you have questions, you can email those questions to communications@vha.ca. And if we have time to answer them during the call, we will attempt to do so, and otherwise we will get back to you after the call. Or you can also telephone 416-280-8426, and we'll get back to you after the call to answer your questions. Today, we will be hearing from Barbara Colley, our Vice President of Client Services, our Kelly Myers, our Vice President of Human Resources, and Catherine Nichol, VHA's Chief Nursing Executive, who also oversees all areas of quality, infection prevention, and protective equipment at VHA. It is now my pleasure to introduce Carol Annett, VHA's President and CEO.
Thank you, Tracy, and thank you to everyone on the call who've joined us today, and also for the many thoughtful questions we did receive ahead of the call. I hope many of you are able to spend a few minutes outdoors on the weekend and just look at the beauty of the colorful fall leaves. My remarks will be brief to allow for plenty of time to answer all your questions directly. This continues to be an unprecedented time for all of us. It is complex, challenging, and filled with uncertainty. We have seen throughout this pandemic that the science and our knowledge of the virus continues to evolve, and many of us are probably feeling like the guidance we are hearing is constantly changing. And it is. It is constantly changing. And as VHA receives information, whether it's suggested practices or specific directives from public health officials, the Ministry of Health, or other funders, we carefully review the information received and implement it as best we can. We have a tremendous pandemic response team in place at VHA. With COVID cases on the rise again, we recently restarted our incident command team that ran from January to June of this year and then took a brief pause during the summer. This team continues to be led by our Chief Nursing Executive, Catherine Nichol, who you will hear from shortly. The team is working directly with our staff and service providers to make sure we are acting quickly on the latest information received. I have great confidence that we have the procedures and systems in place to do the best job possible. It is really important to note that as a home care provider, we are part of a much bigger healthcare system, and we need to be aware of and in step with the actions of our partners, whether they're hospitals, long-term care facilities, primary care, or community support organizations, to name just a few. VHA is an active participant at many local, regional, and provincial planning tables, and I assure you we are very vocal in raising issues relevant to home care, and we are seen as a strong and respected advocate for the needs of our clients, families, and our staff and service providers. What happens in one part of the system no doubt impacts the other part sooner or later. As you know, the early focus in wave one was on acute care and then on the hard-hit long-term care sector, who sadly are now struggling once again. I have heard directly from several clients and their families who are extremely worried about their own health and safety, that of their loved ones, and their VHA caregivers. We know, and it has been confirmed during this pandemic, that home care is the safest place to receive care. We know many families reluctantly chose to put their service on hold early on, and we certainly understand this very personal decision. I am also very aware, as the pandemic continues, families who, out of fear for their loved one's safety, are absolutely exhausted without having any respite from the stress and strain of 24/7 caregiving. Please know that I personally, and along with the Ontario Community Support Association, have been advocating with the government that family caregivers need support now more than ever before. Please know we are doing everything possible to ensure the health and safety of everyone with the best information we have to guide us at any point in time. We are committed to quickly responding and taking the required action to implement changing public health recommendations as we get them. I do hope today's town hall will provide you with the information you need to make informed decisions about your care or that of your loved one.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Carol. And now we are going to hear from Catherine Nicol, VHA's Chief Nursing Executive, who will give us a brief update on VHA's infection prevention practices. Catherine?
Thanks, Tracy. A quick sound check to make sure you can hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. And hello, everyone. Good afternoon. It certainly is a pleasure to be back speaking again in a client and family town hall. So as you may remember from the town hall previously and from Carol's brief words at the beginning, VHA has had a crisis response team in place since January, and it was up and running for 5 months during wave one. We were a very, very busy and committed team, making sure that we responded quickly to guidelines and practices to make sure that our staff and service providers and our clients and families were as safe as they possibly could. As Carol said, we took a break over the summer when things were quieter, and we have just, as of last Tuesday, relaunched our crisis response team to help with the necessary responses and resources required for wave two. So it's going to be different work this time around because we do have excellent systems in place from wave one that we need to allow to just run while we put our focus in new areas. Some of those systems that are working well are our communication mechanisms, both internally and externally, how we source and supply personal protective equipment, the ways that and strategies we've put in place to respond to changing infection prevention and control guidelines, and the education practices that we've put in place for our workforce. So those are some of the things that we put in place the first time around that are working well for us now. Just out of interest, for your knowledge, the latest public health guidelines that came out for home and community care, version number 5, were released on September 17th. And we truly use these guidelines as our guiding star for best and safest practices. So as I said, the incident command team has been up and running for a week in response to wave two. And I'll just share with you some of the areas that we're focused in on now. So one area is testing. So testing is primarily available through assessment centers and pharmacies. And there are some special programs for congregate settings like long-term care and homeless shelters. Currently, there is no widespread testing strategy for home and community for home and community. And so we are working closely with the LIN and our other funders and partners to launch home and community-based testing. But it is going to take a number of us to work together, and just want to reassure you that we're working hard on that. And hopefully we'll see some movement in the near future getting testing out to homes and communities. Another area we're working hard on is contact tracing and notification. So some of you might say, hey, isn't this the responsibility of public health units? And yes, it absolutely is. But for those of you who live in Toronto and a few other areas, the public health units are quite overwhelmed and have had to restrict their contact tracing and notification efforts to priority groups only, such as those who are in congregate settings. And so VHA and other service provider organizations are assisting with contact tracing and notification until those public health units are able to meet the demand again. So figuring out the best way to do that, quickest and most effective, is the work of the incident command team. Another area we're working on is school-based care. So we're working closely with schools and school boards to figure out how we are able to provide school-based care for different groups of children. And you're probably going to hear a little bit more about this from our VP of Client Services, Barb Colley. A fourth area we're working on is congregate care. So home care providers do provide care for clients in long-term care and in retirement homes. And we need to make sure we follow the guidelines that are in place for those two different settings and keep our staff and service providers safe. The other thing we need to keep an eye on is outbreaks and making sure we know which homes are in outbreak and how to respond quickly and effectively for our staff. Finally, the last area we're working on is flu vaccination. And while flu vaccination is not necessarily COVID-19 specific, it certainly is a very important strategy for population health this fall, probably more so this fall than ever before. And VHA is working in 4 or 5 or even 6 different projects to get community and home-based flu vaccination up and running. So Tracy, I'm just going to quickly close by saying that while we don't know what the future will bring with wave 2 and with future waves, we have learned a great deal in wave 1, and we are very, very focused on using what we have learned going forward. And one thing that we have learned is that home is likely the safest place to receive care these days, and VHA is very committed to ensuring that this is the way it stays. So Tracy, I'll pass it back to you, and I look forward to answering questions later in the call.
Thank you very much, Catherine. We are now going to move to the answering the questions that we received ahead of the call, and thank you all for submitting these questions. And Catherine, I'm actually coming back to you fairly quickly. We're going to put the first question to you, and here's the question. Is it recommended that clients wear a mask at all times when a PSW comes to their home?
Thanks, Tracy. So this is a short, this will be a quick, short answer, and the answer is yes. Yes, it is. We should all be wearing masks when we are with people who we are not living with. And it's especially important when we come in close proximity to others, which is typically within 6 feet or 2 meters. So yes, it is recommended that clients wear a mask at all times when their care provider comes to the home.
Thanks very much, Catherine. And Barbara, our Vice President of Client Services, I'm going to pose the next question to you. This question is around long-term care facilities. Can you tell us how VHA is protecting PSWs who are working in long-term care facilities? And are these staff working in long-term care facilities and also working in people's private homes?
Thank you, Tracy, and I know this is a very important question for family caregivers who who have loved ones in congregate settings. I'm going to answer this question in two ways. First, long-term care homes, sometimes called nursing homes, and then I'll address retirement homes. So long-term care homes, nursing homes, are not eligible to receive LIN-funded personal support. So we do not schedule for clients living in long-term care facilities. Now, where we did was briefly when we were asked to support long-term care homes with PSWs in phase one or wave one of the COVID. And we asked for and received a small group of volunteers who then worked exclusively in long-term care. That work was stopped after we moved somewhat out of phase one. But let me speak to retirement homes. We are working to move all our retirement homes to something we call care by shift. And what that means is PSWs working in those homes would work in a shift model. they would do all their hours in the retirement homes with the clients they have on their caseload. Now, in order to make those changes, and we have done that in many of our homes across the GTA LHINs, in order to do that, we need to work with the LHINs and the retirement homes. So it's a three-way effort to make this care by shift model work and be in tandem with the PSWs and the other staff already employed by the retirement homes. So we do have some staff who are seeing clients in their homes and in the retirement homes. However, I can reassure you that providers screen themselves daily. They screen their clients. They wear universal personal protective equipment. Hand hygiene protocols are followed. We work with the retirement homes to manage environmental cleaning. We support physical distancing, and education, as you've heard from Catherine, is ongoing and regular. I will add that part of the work we're engaged in is to ensure we have the right mix of VHA staff and retirement home staff. As you know, the retirement homes have staff they employ. Often they don't have enough, and VHA is there to support them. I hope that answers that question, Tracy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barbara. And now we're going to hear from Kelly Myers, our Vice President of Human Resources. Kelly, could you tell us how many staff have developed COVID-19 from a client or vice versa? And what do we do when this happens?
Okay, thanks, Tracy. Excuse me. To the best of our knowledge, we've not had any cases your clients have contracted COVID-19 from a VHA staff member. Since the start of the pandemic, we've been closely monitoring our staff cases, and it would appear that we have had 7 cases that seem to be work-related. In 6 of these cases, clients were asymptomatic, and while staff were wearing their masks, at that time, they were not wearing face shields. And as Catherine has mentioned, on September 17th, the home and community care guidelines were amended, and face shields are now part of that universal masking when care needs to be provided within 6 feet of a client. We did have one recent case where a staff member was not wearing their mask, contrary to our policies. When we become aware that a client is COVID positive, there's a review of the case to determine if services should continue, and if so, all staff providing services are notified of PPE protocols and they're reinforced with their supervisor. If a staff member tests positive, they remain off work until they have fully recovered. We immediately inform our partners at the local health integration network, and we follow all guidance provided by public health. As Catherine mentioned earlier, to the degree that we need to become involved in contract tracing, we will also do that. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Carol, I'm hoping you can address this next question. This is from someone who suspended their services with VHA, and so they're wondering what measures VHA has taken to minimize the possibility of transmission of COVID-19, wondering if PSWs are limited to working with just a small number of clients, how are we managing how PSWs are traveling between clients' homes, that sort of thing. Can you attempt to address those concerns?
Sure. And I totally understand the decision to resume service is one that each person and their family will need to make on their own. And I know it's not an easy decision to make. As you've heard from others, we are following best practices in infection control. Our staff are instructed to follow the required protocols to keep you and themselves as safe as possible, both when they're providing care and when traveling between clients. We do try really hard to maintain relationships between PSWs and the clients and families they serve, as we know great connections get formed and a shared understanding of the care plan develops. However, given the complexity of travel, the timing of visits, the need to keep our staff's caseloads up, it can be really difficult to limit the number of clients each PSW sees. We've also had some staff reductions during the pandemic, primarily due to childcare issues. So it is impossible for anyone to give you a 100% guarantee that they're going to be seeing only your loved one or just a few. But I can only keep underlining home care is the safest place to receive care, and it remains true during COVID-19. And I'm sorry, I can't give you the answer that I suspect is behind this question.
Thank you, Carol. Catherine, I have another question for you. Can staff wear just face shields, or could see-through masks be provided when working with clients who cannot hear properly when staff are wearing masks?
Thanks, Tracy. So face shields are not a substitute for wearing a mask. Face shields do not provide protection from inhaling droplets like a medical mask does. So they are not something that can be used in place of a mask. Face shields are protective in other ways. So they protect the eyes, they act as a barrier to touching our face, and they provide some protection to the outside of the mask from being contaminated. So there are masks with a see-through panel available on the market, and these are very useful for those with difficulty hearing and who rely on reading lips as well as some hearing to communicate. And we do have these available for our staff on a case-by-case basis. So I think that this is something that if as a client or a family member, you could ask either your coordinator or your care provider to talk to their supervisor about the case and issuing a mask with a see-through panel.
Wonderful. Excuse me. Thank you very much, Catherine. Kelly, I'm going to direct the next question your way. Are clients being advised if a PSW is working with a COVID positive client? Could you speak to how that works?
Mm-hmm. We haven't informed clients if their VHA PSW is working with COVID positive clients. As we've been talking about earlier today, all of our staff have been trained in the proper use of PPE. And in particular, when we know there is a COVID positive client, the supervisor and the PSW talk before care is provided and really reinforce and review all of those PPE requirements. The supervisor and PSW will also discuss the total caseload for that PSW and determine whether any schedule adjustments would be advisable. On an average day, we provide almost 9,000 client visits. At present, we're providing services to a very small number of COVID positive clients. Our present count is 20. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Barbara, I'm going to direct this next question towards you. This question comes from a private client, private services clients. Can you tell us what protective equipment staff are required to use with clients? And how is compliance for whether or not a staff person is wearing the proper protective equipment monitored?
Great. That's a great question. And thank you for the opportunity to respond. So whether a client is a private client or a client who is referred to us by the LIN Home Care Program, I can assure you the requirements for PPE are the same. All VHA staff follow the requirements and practices as laid out by the Ministry of Health and Public Health Ontario, and VHA ensures that staff receive regular reminders, reinforcing messages, and that they have received the proper PPE for all circumstances. Our staff, as you know, is out in the community, so we don't see staff all the time. However, as clients, if you have any concerns or questions, you would certainly be encouraged to speak to the supervisor of the staff. I can assure you that supervisors regularly reinforce the importance of PPE with their teams. And if we were to find out that a staff member was not properly using PPE, this would be considered a performance issue, and we would deal with it as a performance concern.
Thank you very much, Barbara. Catherine, I'm going to direct this next question to you. This person has heard about PSWs getting their protective equipment from their supervisors regularly when the team meets at something called Community Hub Distribution. Is this working to make sure the staff have the protective equipment they need, and will it be continuing in the new year?
Yeah, so thanks, Tracy. Yes, this is something that we put in place in really the very early days of wave one, because we were experiencing, of course, the large gatherings of PSWs at our offices, picking up personal protective equipment, and of course, having to travel from their communities into the office on public transit. So, you know, our hope was to be able to reduce these gatherings and reduce the travel and just make it easier for our PSWs and our service providers to get the PPE that they needed. So, you know, in the early days, we called it reverse distribution, but we came up with a much better name, and that is Community Hub Distribution. And what we did was we packaged up PPE at the head offices and had volunteer drivers drive the bags of personal protective equipment out to a predetermined community hub location, something like a large Walmart parking lot or a large community center backspace, where PPE could be safely distributed by supervisors and volunteers to their team. So it was a great way of making PPE access greater and safer, but it also helped provide a nice opportunity for supervisors to connect with their teams. You know, they were used to meeting with their teams regularly in person, and that just wasn't an opportunity anymore with COVID and the reduced in-person opportunities to be together. So this was a safe way for supervisors to connect with their teams, to provide information and education in a just-in-time format, because in the early days we did Community Hub distribution every week. And it was also a nice opportunity for them to provide a reassurance and support, obviously, because it was quite a stressful time and continues to be stressful. So Community Hub is alive and well, going very smoothly. We are now distributing PPE every 2 weeks instead of every week. And the main reason for that is because the supply of PPE has stabilized somewhat. And so we have more on hand to be able to distribute every 2 weeks. So in response to your question about, you know, will it continue into the new year, we're constantly assessing the need for Community Hub distribution of PPE. And I can assure you that, you know, while the need is there, we will continue to problem solve the best ways and the safest ways to get PPE out. I can't guarantee Community Hub will be the way it is forever, because we know that things change, but certainly in the near future, we will be distributing PPE via Community Hub.
Thanks very much, Catherine. Kelly, I'm hoping you can address this question. Is it possible to have the same PSW each visit? And can I request a specific PSW?
Thanks, Tracy. Where possible, our scheduling coordinators do try to assign a regular PSW to provide care. However, there are many variables that can make this really challenging. time-specific care, travel, unique skills required, and worker availability are all factors that need to be taken into consideration. You can certainly request a specific PSW, but whether or not we can make this work will really depend on all the factors that I mentioned. I would encourage you to have a conversation with your scheduling coordinator to discuss options and explore what's possible.
Thank you very much, Kelly. Barbara, how can clients voice their concerns, if they have any, during the course of regular visits?
Thanks, Tracy. If a client or a family caregiver have any concerns about their care or their care provider or their schedule, there are several options available to them depending on their service. If their concerns are regarding personal support services, they would be encouraged to contact the supervisor associated with their care. The supervisor will have provided the client with a telephone number and their full name. If the concern is regarding their nursing or their rehab services, clients and family caregivers would be encouraged first to discuss those concerns with the person providing their care and try to seek a resolution. If there is a need to escalate those concerns, they can ask for the name and contact information of their nursing or rehab provider supervisor, or they can certainly call the main VHA line at 416-489-2500, and someone would be pleased to help them.
Thank you very much, Barbara. I'm actually going to direct the next question to you as well, if I may. What services is VHA providing virtually now?
Well, I'm delighted to answer that question. Virtual care is an option that we are pleased to be able to provide. So both nursing and rehab services are permitted to offer virtual care in place of a face-to-face visit. Virtual care we define by care by telephone or care by video. The nurse or the rehab provider could offer a client the option of a virtual visit, assuming two things. The goals of care are clinically appropriate for a virtual visit and would be beneficial to the client. And two, assuming the client has the proper virtual technology required and feels comfortable to participate virtually.
Wonderful, thank you. Kelly, does VHA have enough PSWs to serve all of our clients?
That is really a tough one. And the answer is yes and no. There is most definitely a shortage of PSWs in Ontario. And at VHA, we certainly have some teams that do not have enough staff. In other areas, however, we have workers who do have open visits, but these times aren't aligned with client need, or the travel that's required just doesn't make it feasible. The pandemic has added another level of challenge for all healthcare employers. At VHA, we lost about 70 part-time workers who also work in hospitals and long-term care. Those individuals are prohibited from working in home care at this time, and that makes good sense. Many of our staff, as Carol mentioned earlier, are parents, and they're on leaves of absence or have reduced hours due to childcare needs, or perhaps are caring for a family member of their own. We've got a great recruitment team, and they've been hard at work bringing in new staff into areas where we are struggling to meet client needs.
Thank you very much. Catherine, can you tell us what protective equipment staff are wearing all the time?
Sure. So yes, and a nice, clear, and easy answer. So VHA staff and service providers should be wearing a medical mask for the duration of their visit. They should also be wearing eye protection or a face shield when they are working closely with their clients within 2 meters or 6 feet. So just to reiterate, always a mask, and when in close contact, eye protection or a face shield. The question was specifically about equipment, but if I might, I will expand it a little bit because there's some other practices that should be done, quote unquote, all the time too. So our staff are always self-screening every day, always self-monitoring for symptoms, and they should be screening every client at every visit. Hand hygiene is something that should be done all the time, including things like alcohol-based hand sanitizer or, where it's available, soap and water. Physical distancing and environmental cleaning are also things that should be done regularly. And I will just finish by sharing a quick tip that one of my IPAC colleagues shared with me recently, and that is that we should all be following the three W's, which is wash your hands, wear your mask, and watch your distance. So that's an easy thing to remember that we should all be following.
Great. I'm writing that down as we speak. Thank you. Okay, Barbara, I have another question for you, please. It is my understanding that your staff are not working if they're sick. Is that true, and how is that being enforced?
Thanks, Tracy. I'm going to borrow from Catherine and give a quick answer. And the answer is yes, our staff are not to be working when they are sick. Well, I'll go a little further. Before COVID-19 arrived, staff have always known they cannot work if they are experiencing symptoms that would put a client at risk. This is reinforced at our orientation, it's reinforced in our clinical policies, reinforced in our team meetings, in our performance appraisals, and if needed, performance management. With specific reference to COVID, all staff and service providers are required to self-screen for any of the COVID-19 symptoms before presenting for work and to self-screen throughout the day. If the symptoms are present, they are not able to work. For any staff who do not have any detectable symptoms, wearing a surgical mask and the eye protection Catherine has just gone through is required to prevent the spread of any infectious illness. With a remote workforce, we of course can't screen staff as they do in hospitals. However, we would certainly encourage our clients and their family caregivers to expect that staff are wearing their face mask, their eye protection, and carrying out these three W's that I've just learned. I like those. And certainly, if someone in the rare circumstance is not doing those things, to please contact the supervisor or the office. Clients and family members, as you've heard, are also recommended to wear a cloth mask if feasible.
Thank you very much, Barbara. Catherine, are our PSWs being tested for COVID-19? If not, why not?
Thanks, Tracy. This is a sort of a yes and a no answer. So just as a brief overview of how testing is handled in Ontario, it's actually the Ministry of Health that sets the criteria and the eligibility for testing in the province. And, you know, all citizens, including healthcare workers and healthcare organizations, have to follow that guidance. So the last testing guidance that was released was on September 24th. And what it states there about healthcare workers is that they are to be tested when they meet one or more of the following three criteria. The first criteria is they are symptomatic for COVID-19, or they are exhibiting symptoms of a COVID-19 infection. If they are, they can attend an assessment center for testing. The second criteria is if they have had an exposure to somebody who has COVID-19. And that exposure is typically indicated by the public health contact tracing and notification process or through the COVID alert app on their phone. So if they have had an exposure, then they again can attend an assessment center for testing. The third is if they're part of a regular surveillance testing program. And this would be, for example, like what's being done in long-term care or in, I think, homeless shelters as well. So those, because of the high risk of those congregate settings, those workers are eligible for what's called surveillance testing or repeated testing every 2 weeks. So if we do have staff that are providing care in those settings, then they are eligible for testing. So those are that's the yes answer. So if they meet those criteria, then yes, they're eligible for testing. If they don't, then they are not eligible for testing. And I think that, you know, what's important to note here is that the testing criteria and the testing guidance changes over time. So we need to just watch it closely as we watch all of the other guidelines and respond accordingly. But that is, those are the guidelines that we have to follow today.
Great, thank you very much, Catherine. Kelly, next question for you. Are VHA's PSWs receiving the wage increase the government recently announced?
Yes, we're really happy to confirm that our PSWs will be eligible. The implementation rules, though, have not yet been released, but we do know the government is working on this. This temporary $3 increase will be retroactive to October 1st and will be reviewed on a regular basis. The government has indicated it could extend through March 31st, 2021. We are working with our association, the Ontario Community Support Association, to advocate for a permanent increase to wages and increased funding for personal support services and care.
Wonderful, thank you, Kelly. Catherine, do we have enough protective equipment?
So I am so delighted to say yes, we absolutely do. This, as everyone would have heard by following the media, that early in wave one, it was a great concern that certain parts of the health sector and other sectors had difficulty procuring adequate supplies of personal protective equipment. But luckily that was contained to about the first 5 or 6 weeks of wave one. And then after that, supply chains did open up and we were able to procure and obtain enough personal protective equipment. So one of the interesting things that the incident command team did during wave one was put in place some very detailed tracking mechanisms so that we could calculate the number of weeks supply of each piece of personal protective equipment that we needed in place. And we run those reports still every Friday to make sure that we're on top of our ordering. We are still dealing with delays on some orders, but luckily we have been able to source adequate supply that really we have no concerns at this time. So we'll keep working on this one, and I'm sure supplies will ebb and flow as the waves ebb and flow, but we're in very good shape at the moment.
Wonderful, that's great to hear, Catherine. Thank you very much. The next question is actually in response to some of the messaging in your recent newsletter message, Catherine. You mentioned that VHA would be providing in-home testing to clients who need it and cannot get to a testing center. When will that be happening and how will that work?
Yes, and that is our hope. And I think my words in my newsletter were, we're looking forward to being able to provide in-home testing. And I think I said that for a couple of reasons. One is because we know how important it is to be able to provide this service to those who either, you know, cannot leave their homes, are homebound, or have great difficulty leaving their homes. I also mentioned it because it is in the works. We are in discussion with partners partners about how to offer in-home testing. And so, you know, within our Lynn-funded service, I can say that planning is definitely underway. So one of the questions, I think the question you asked is, how will it work? So the way it will work is we'll receive a referral for testing, and then one of our staff, and if it's a nasopharyngeal swab, it will be a nurse, will attend the home to do the test, and the specimen will be stored in the fridge until a lab courier comes to pick it up to take it for analysis. And then notification of results should be through public health, as that is their role. And we're still sorting through some of the finer details on that. So we truly are really looking forward to being able to provide this very important health service in homes and communities, and and hoping that it happens sooner rather than later.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Catherine. We've received a question just now that we'll attempt to answer. Thank you so much for sending this in. This question is around some of our palliative clients who may be hesitant to be visited by a PSW who is also servicing clients in a retirement home. And so the question is it possible to have teams that are working only in the community or only in the retirement homes? Barbara, would you be able to speak to that?
Thanks, Tracy. This is a tough one, and I just want to say I more than understand where the question is coming from and the concern. What I would like to say is this is our goal, that we work in tandem with the Lynns and retirement homes so that we are able to separate out those who do community visits in individual homes from those who work in congregate settings. We understand that this would be ideal. You've heard a little bit from Kelly that we have suffered some reduced capacity. So we, again, don't always have the PSWs or the staff that you wish to have at the time you wish, in the place you wish. However, because we are moving in this direction, if you have deferred your services, I would encourage you to keep in touch with BHA, because as the regions move to this separation,
you miss the opportunity to reinstate your service.
Just reassure you again, you've heard from my colleagues Catherine and Kelly and Carol. We follow the public health rules and requirements. We ensure our staff are safe for themselves and for you. We can reassure you we have the right and proper PPE, protective equipment. We're ready. And I would really encourage you to check in with your coordinator, your supervisor, because we may very well have moved to the separation of retirement homes and in-home visits.
Thank you very much, Barbara. That concludes our questions for today. I'd like to thank you all again for joining us. And I'll turn it over to Carol Annett in just a moment. I wanted to mention, for those of you who may not currently be receiving regular communications from VHA, we would encourage you to reach out to us if you would like to receive regular updates. You can email us at communications@vha.ca, or you can call 416-280-8426 to reach the communications team, and we'd be delighted to answer your questions if we can, and to make sure that you're receiving our communications as we have them. And with that, I will turn it over to Carol Annett.
Thanks, and thank you again for everyone on the call for joining us and for your excellent questions. I also want to thank you for your concern for VHA staff and service providers, because I know when I talk to many of you, you are appreciative and grateful for the care you receive. And they truly are committed, competent and really caring professionals, and they work so hard at this stressful time to keep you as safe and healthy as possible. And it really does make a big difference to them to know that you are appreciative of their efforts. So I'm going to close it off by saying keep well, keep safe, and thank you for the privilege of providing care to you and your loved ones.
Thank you very much, Carol. Thank you to Barbara and Kelly and Catherine and to all of you for joining us. That concludes our call for today. We will be sending a recording out to everyone who registered for the call in case there were any questions you wanted to be able to refer to later on, and we'll also be putting that up on our website. Thank you all very much. Take care. Bye-bye.